Well, good morning. Welcome to the Be the Edge Challenge call. We've got Mark Smith is going to share with us. Before we do, I want to throw out there, Mark, if you could leave us 30 seconds, I'd love for you to lead us in praying for the folks in Texas before we get off this morning. I know that's got to be heavy on a lot of hearts, especially folks who have kids still going and finishing up school. I've got 8 grandkids still in that process, and you know, it's hard not to put their faces on some of those when you think about it. So, but anyway. With that in mind, Mark, why don't you give us a challenge this morning, brother?
Absolutely. And it is fitting. But I'll start out with a scripture this morning, Romans 5:1-5. Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our sufferings, knowing that suffering brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And Kevin, I had 2 different talks roughly outlined for this morning. One was on the unconditional and personal love of Jesus, and one was on the power of our words. And both of those got flushed Tuesday afternoon. Okay. Here, I'm going to show you a picture real quick. This is this is my daughter, Olivia. Okay. Now you might notice that Olivia doesn't look much like me, and that's okay. We adopted her and her brothers before she was even 1 year old. But that's her with her best buddies on their last day of third grade just a couple of days ago. And so I couldn't help but connect with Tuesday afternoon's events, telling you. In moments like this, guys, it's there's really a few things to happen. One, we remember what or who is really important, and we hold them tight. We remember that our world is not the way it's supposed to be. Something is not right. And the last thing we do is we wonder how to make events like this stop. Anybody that knows me, and I've spent time with a bunch of you guys on this call, you know that I'm not very political. You've never gotten me riled up about politics. And it's not that I don't care about what's going on, but that I know that right now is just right now. It's temporary. It's just a moment in time in relation to eternity. And I know who is in control, and I know how this great grand story in which we're living ends. But when stuff like this happens, it cuts deep. Most things I'm able to shrug off, but this one got to me, okay? Not only do I have this third, now fourth grader, Olivia, who I can connect with all these parents, I've also been through Uvalde, Texas several times. And when you've been to one of these places, when you've seen the people, well, I was just 7 blocks from Robb Elementary so many times. When you've seen the people, the world seems smaller, much less distant. And things like this are so much more visceral and tangible. And I am convinced of the only thing that will make events like this stop. Violence like this, twisted minds like this, it's a result of generations veering away from the humble understanding of the grace of Jesus. Grace, it's getting the salvation from sin plus eternal life with our Creator when we least deserved it, when we didn't deserve it at all. And we've had generations where we veered away from understanding that. In the Old Testament, there's a book called Judges. It's a dark period of time in Israel's history, about 340 years of darkness. It's like the dark, dark ages. And in this book, we see a cycle that keeps repeating itself. And I'm going to show you the cycle real quick. First off, you have sin. The people slipped into sin so often. And as a result of their sin, God gave them over to suffering. And they would have all sorts of murders. They would have invasions from outside sources. They even had civil war. And they would slip into these times of suffering. And then they would realize what they had done, and they would repent. And then God in his goodness and his grace and his mercy, he would save them, and they would enjoy a time of salvation. And then they get comfortable again, and they slip back into sin. And this cycle repeated itself 7 different times in this period of 340 years. And in this period of time, there's a couple of recurring themes that led to Israel's slip into cultural sin. One, they did not recognize Yahweh as their king and Lord. Matter of fact, there's a saying in the book of Judges that keeps repeating itself. It says, in those days, Israel had no king. They did not acknowledge the Lord as their king. Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I don't know. That rings similar to me to today. We also see the other thing, that their faith leaders, the priests, their Levites, were not teaching the law. And when there's no printing press, that's the only way that people learn the word of God, is by learning it orally. And the priests and Levites, the ministers, were not doing that. So these two things frequently led to Israel slipping into cultural sin and then suffering because of it. So where does that leave us to today? I'm convinced that the only hope that we have in America is Jesus. You can't legislate it. This is not a gun issue. This is a sin culture issue. We have a culture that glorifies sin, that tries to redefine, reduce the definition of sin, but God's definition of sin never changes. This is not a laws or a rules issue. This is a principles and values issue. We have a culture that does not value every human life. And as such, we live in a culture where taking a life is nominalized. The only hope for us is to turn our hearts to Jesus, to submit to his lordship, to repent of sin, to ask for mercy, to receive his grace. This is a big statement, right? The reality is, I can't control federal, county, or even city legislator. I can't immediately change the attitudes of the people in my state, city, or my neighborhood. But I can lead my family. And I can lead in any area in which Jesus, out of his grace, has given me influence, whether it's in business or it's on the ball field. And I can consistently strive to make sure that my heart is in line with the heart of Jesus, that I see all of his creation through his eyes and not my calloused heart. May you be the same. The challenge to you today, this is the challenge call. What's the challenge? It's to start the cultural change in America, in your state, in your city, in your neighborhood, and in your family, by making the change in your heart, to submit to him, his lordship, to repent of sin, get rid of it. If you've got a recurring sin, get rid of it, repent of it, and lead for him, looking at every single created being as he does. And that's uniquely valuable. If we do this, we will have hope again. And like Paul said, hope does not disappoint. I'm going to invite you to go and be the edge today. Kevin asked me to close us with a word of prayer, and I'll do that right now. If you would join me. God, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. God, our hearts are going out to that community, Lord, and to those families. We lift them up to you. We ask that you would draw them close to your heart, God, and you would do what you do best, which is minister to them through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, you can do things that we cannot, and that's infiltrate their heart and infiltrate their mind through your Holy Spirit, God. Come alongside of them, whisper encouragement in their ears, knowing that you are there, you're not far, you're not distant, you're right there, you're with them. And I pray that you would give them hope, that you would give them peace in the midst of this tragedy, Lord, that you would even give them love, that you would remove despair, and that you would comfort them, Lord. God, I do lift up every person that's on this call. God, I pray that you would instill in their heart a desire to repent of sin and live for you and lead for you, Lord, in a way that clings to you as King, clings to you as Lord, and clings to your word and the promises that they bring, that we would find hope in you and you alone, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Mark. Hey, y'all, today's call went a little long.